This program is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hello, and welcome to this installment of CDC's AMR Exchange, Protecting Americans from Antimicrobial Resistance. I'm Dr. Dawn Sievert, and I'm the Senior Science Advisor in CDC's Antimicrobial Resistance Coordination and Strategy Unit. For this discussion, I'm joined by a colleague here at CDC, a frequent collaborator, in fact, who has done incredible work throughout her career to combat antimicrobial resistance and healthcare-associated infections. She's kindly agreed to sit down with me to share her work at the agency and the impacts her team has had on public health. Dr. Maroya Walters, welcome to the AMR Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Dawn.
So let's get started. Maroya, for my first question, could you please introduce yourself and tell us about the work you do at CDC?
Hi, Dawn. I am a commander in the U.S. Public Health Service and an epidemiologist who leads the Antimicrobial Resistance Team in the Division of Healthcare Quality Promotions, Prevention, and Response Branch. A major focus of my team's work is implementing these activities in partnership with Health Department, Healthcare-Associated Infections, and Antimicrobial Resistance Programs, including providing consultations on outbreak investigations. My team is also always on the lookout for emerging signals and trends. For example, new populations impacted by antimicrobial resistance or new modes of transmission. Because we work across a variety of pathogens and in different healthcare settings, every day is different.
So, Maroya, CDC considers carbapenemase-producing carbapenem-resistant Enterobacterales, or CPCRE, to be an urgent threat to human health in the United States. And part of your work focuses on some changes we're seeing in the epidemiology of CPCRE. So for my first question, can you please explain what makes this pathogen an urgent threat?
So to understand why these are so incredibly concerning, I think it really helps to break down the terminology because carbapenemase-producing carbapenem-resistant Enterobacterales is a bit of a jawbreaker. So if we start with Enterobacterales, this encompasses some of the most common pathogens that are identified by clinical microbiology labs. For example, Klebsiella pneumoniae and E. coli are Enterobacterales. And these bacteria can cause a wide variety of different infections, pneumonias, urinary tract infections, bloodstream infections, as well as wound infections. So these are a really important class of organisms, a very common class that causes healthcare-associated infections. Carbapenems are some of our most versatile and powerful antibiotics. They have been a mainstay of treatment for serious resistant infections for decades. So carbapenem resistance is very concerning because it means that the bacteria are resistant to a really important drug. Carbapenemases are a mechanism of carbapenem resistance, a way that the bacteria becomes resistant. Carbapenemases are enzymes, and they inactivate not just carbapenems, but other beta-lactam antibiotics. This means that a CPCRE, a carbapenemase-producing CRE, is going to be resistant to multiple classes of antibiotics just by having this one carbapenemase. Additionally, carbapenemases are typically encoded on pieces of DNA that jump between different bacteria. And so carbapenemases can move not just between different strains of bacteria of one species, but actually can jump species too. This means that they rapidly spread resistance and increase the probability that these resistance mechanisms are going to meet up with strains of bacteria that are perhaps more virulent or more fit and therefore more difficult to control. When we put this all together, CPCRE are bacteria that are resistant to some of our most important antibiotics, and they can spread quickly, including out of healthcare settings and into the community, where they can cause a wide variety of different kinds of infections.
Thank you. So next, can you please speak to the important changes that have been happening with CPCRE in the last few years?
Absolutely, Dawn. Over the past few years, the epidemiology of CPCRE has changed dramatically, with increased identification of strains that have fewer treatment options. We've also seen a shift in where these cases are occurring. For example, when I started here more than 10 years ago, almost all cases and outbreaks we investigated were linked to healthcare, and most affected patients who were adults with serious underlying medical conditions. In the past few years, with our health department partners, We've investigated outbreaks in pediatric units, veterinary settings, and cases reported in people without any notable healthcare exposure, which suggests acquisition in the community. Much of this shift has coincided with the increased incidence of a certain carbapenemase called NDM. NDM CRE have fewer treatment options and may spread more easily outside of healthcare than KPC CRE, which is historically the predominant CP CRE in the U.S.
And finally on this topic, can you please describe the role that CDC has been playing in detecting this problem, including how Lab and Epi have worked together?
John, really the AR laboratory network has been absolutely crucial for detecting these increases in CPCRE. And this is in part because with CPCRE, we are looking for a genotype, the presence of specific carbapenemases, and not just a resistant phenotype. And so we rely heavily on specialized laboratory testing to identify CPCRE. A lot of clinical labs don't have the capacity to do this testing, and so much of this is done through the AR lab network. My team monitors reports from the AR lab network daily, so we're constantly on the lookout for high concern resistance and outbreaks. We and our HAI program partners work with both CDC and public health laboratories, not just to assess trends in CPCRE, but to follow up on outbreaks and unusual cases. Some of the things we frequently collaborate with our laboratory partners on are colonization screening to actively look for cases who are asymptomatically colonized but can transmit to other patients and actually are at risk of developing infections themselves, environmental sampling during outbreaks, specialized antimicrobial susceptibility testing to see if isolates are susceptible to antibiotics that might not be routinely tested at clinical microbiology labs, and analysis of whole genome sequencing data.
Thanks, Maroya, for clearly describing the very serious change that we're seeing with this increase in CPCRE and all the efforts that are being taken to monitor and address it. So for my next question, using CPCRE as an example, how do you and your team work with partners like state health departments and healthcare facilities to provide guidance and share new information about emerging threats?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that we do, Don. So first, we have response guidance and prevention strategies that health departments and healthcare facilities can use to guide their actions to help slow the spread of emerging resistance. And we also, with our laboratory partners, have a lot of testing available to expand on the offerings that are from clinical microbiology labs and really help implement some of these strategies. We also provide health department programs updates on current epidemiology, and we work with them to characterize emerging issues. For example, earlier this year, we published a short report on NDM CRE and persons without documented healthcare exposures. We had noticed that several health departments were reporting cases like this, and so we coordinated data sharing across different groups and wrote a brief report to share our observations with the broader healthcare epidemiology community and public health.
Great, thank you. For my next question, can you help explain what actions you take with partners when you're working to slow the spread of an outbreak?
With these organisms, our first step for an outbreak investigation is almost always some case finding. We want to look for cases that either were missed in the clinical laboratory setting. For example, maybe there were some CRE that weren't sent for mechanism testing to detect carbapenemases. And we also want to do some active screening because patients can be asymptomatically colonized with these organisms, meaning that patients may carry these bugs in or on their body, so they're not showing signs or symptoms of infection, but they can transmit to others and ultimately could develop infections themselves. So we do screening to identify these patients. And that's a really important step because identifying these individuals with CPCRE helps get them into the appropriate transmission-based precautions so that we can prevent further spread in healthcare settings. We also look at the epidemiology of cases to understand their characteristics. Are these infections occurring in patients who are on a certain unit, in a certain room, or who underwent a particular procedure? What kinds of infections do they have? Sometimes this information can help guide our infection control assessments. And that's the next step in these investigations. we always want to assess infection control practices to understand if there are gaps that might be leading to transmission. Sometimes we find a very clear source that explains most of the cases in an outbreak, and by just addressing that one issue, we are able to stop the outbreak. But often transmission is occurring from a variety of different gaps in infection control. And so we really have to work on all of those to prevent transmission. And our health department HAI programs are really experts, not just in going out to healthcare facilities to do that initial assessment to find gaps in infection control and make recommendations, but also to work with healthcare facilities to implement those interventions and try to stop the outbreak.
All right, Mariah. So recognizing that you've been doing this work for a number of years, looking back at your experience supporting HAI and AR outbreak response at CDC, what are some of the lessons you've learned? And can you please give us your final thoughts then on the most concerning antimicrobial resistance on your mind right now?
I think the thing I've learned is, and I've alluded to this a little bit earlier, is that the epidemiology of CRE can change very quickly. So it's critical to keep looking at the data, asking questions about what is changing and why it might be changing. We, prior to the pandemic, had really nice declines in CRE and many other resistant pathogens in healthcare. But we really can't be complacent because we've seen that over time that those decreases are potentially starting to reverse themselves. And so we're seeing suddenly increases, and we really have to be able to understand the epidemiology and why it is changing and how to address it. The thing I'm most concerned about right now are increases in NDM CRE and their potential to cause hard to treat infections in people who live in the community, including children and other otherwise healthy individuals. The collective we, healthcare epidemiologists, clinicians, clinical microbiologists, health departments, and public health labs, really need to work together to prioritize this issue and to ensure that these infections are identified promptly so that patients get appropriate treatment and have the best possibility of recovery. And also to put in place interventions to limit spread so that what is this trajectory that we're on does not continue.
All right. Thank you, Mariah. And so that's all the time we have for now. I really appreciate the insights and the expertise that you've shared. You've highlighted how essential the work between CDC, public health departments, and healthcare facilities is to successfully detect, control, and prevent healthcare and antimicrobial-resistant infections. Without that close communication and those coordinated efforts, pathogens and antimicrobial resistance would be able to spread undetected at a much faster rate, putting a lot more lives at risk. So thank you for joining me today, Mariah, and for all that you do to help keep our patients safe.
Thanks for having me, Dawn.
Goodbye.
For the most accurate health information, visit cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.